And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, January 29th, 2025. I want to just thank everyone who is joining me. Eric the Tech, I've got red lights popping on my box. Is that a bad thing? Is it? I don't know. All right. Well, we'll work on that later. Am I blowing you out of the control room there? Yeah, never mind. We're good. Boy, folks, I'll tell you what. I have got a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. I'll give you a little bit of a kind of a background. So I spoke with this gentleman at length, Mr. J.J. Carroll. And he's been a Border Patrol agent or was a Border Patrol agent for 24 years, I believe, multiple administrations, 2 years into the Biden administration. I couldn't take it anymore, basically. He has probably put more people, deported more people, put more people in jail. He's done everything. He's done all of that. And this is a guy that is, in my view, a true hero in America. One of the guys on the front lines in doing what others can't or won't do. And, I'm telling you, I look at him, kind of like a hero status. And he also has written this book, which I got in, about a year and a half ago. It's titled Invaded, The Intentional Destruction of the American Immigration System. Folks, if you don't have this book, here's what you need to do. You need to go to Amazon.com right now and grab a copy of this book. And the reason I say that is the documentation in this will give you the background for what we're talking about today, as well as I'm gonna sneak this out, as well as his next book, which is coming out on February 18th. But don't let that stop you from grabbing this book. Again, Invaded. I learned just a tremendous amount from this book. I cannot, and folks, you know how much I like to read and how many books I read. Have an extensive library. This is top shelf. I'm telling you right now, top shelf. Invaded by J.J. Carroll. And please support this man by purchasing his book, his next book, as well as joining his Substack and everything else. But earlier today, a couple hours before showtime, in fact, Eric the Tech and I had, we had a little bit of a mini conference, and on the monitor, we had Real America's Voice tuned in. And Eric and I are talking, and then I felt like that picture of DiCaprio. There, I felt like that. That's me. Because on the screen, my guest was a guest with John Solomon and Amanda Head this evening, talking about the border situation. And but that Eric the Tech captured that of me earlier today, and I said, yeah, he's coming on. And it was great because my wife was there. I called my wife over and I said, look, watch. So very excited to have him. Before I get to him, two things. Folks, I haven't talked about this lately, but I want to mention this. Nanosoma, I want my health back.com. This is a spray. It's an amazing product. It's not cheap. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not cheap, but, it's an oral spray that you take, and it kind of, I can't even explain it, but if you've got issues internally, it goes, finds the issues you have and begins to repair them. Now, it takes a while. You got to stick with it. You got to be, you just can't spray it and forget it. No, you got to do it every day. And the reason I mention this is because I figured if it works on me, it works on my dog. My dog has Cushing's, and where she started out at a very, very high dosage required of a trilostane to keep the Cushing's down. The only change I made was giving her this orally, and her blood levels for the Cushings. I mean, they're down just a little bit. They're just a little higher than normal. So, and the only change I made was giving her this spray. But it also has done wonders for me with my blood numbers, my glucose numbers, and a number of other things. And they also have this, which is a topical ointment. Works tremendous. I go to iwantmyhealthback.com. It's on HagmanPI.com. Two ends on Hagman, don't forget, as well as everything tonight. Before I bring my guest on, I want to show you this from tonight where I was pointing, but my guest makes a very, very, very important point. And I pulled this because this is about a minute 30 of the discussion from Real America's Voice, just the news tonight. And the link will be at HagmanPI.com. But folks, check this out.
Today, I'm also signing an executive order to instruct the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security to begin preparing the 30,000 person migrant facility at Guantanamo Bay. Most people don't even know about it. We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them because we don't want them coming back, so we're going to send them out to Guantanamo. This will double our capacity immediately, right? And that's a tough place to get out of.
Joining us now to talk about that, the Laken Riley Act, and how the media has been portraying President Trump's border policies is former Border Patrol agent and author of the new book, Treason, the Biden Administration's Strategic and Malicious Destruction of America's Sovereignty, which comes out on February 18th. J.J. Carroll, J.J., welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Donald Trump just keeps on keeping on, isn't it? It's amazing.
It is, and it's such a stark contrast from the last administration. We are basically going from the Biden administration's catch and release policies of allowing, you know, this vicious cycle of coming across the border, being caught, released, coming across the border, being caught, being released. You know, this vicious cycle, we're going from that to now, oh, not only are we are arresting you, and if you are the worst of the worst, you're going to Gitmo. I don't think that there is a starker contrast from one administration to another, ever.
No, never. And I'm getting reports from all of my contacts on the border, and they're saying everything has stopped. It's ceased. No one's crossing the border. We're at pre-Biden levels of entries on the border. No one's coming across. ICE special agents are roaming San Diego, the interior of America, and they're rounding up the worst of the worst. And Donald Trump is saying, because I don't think America understands what the process is of getting rid of these illegal aliens that come from communist nations that have very bad diplomatic relations with us. And they openly state, I'm not taking them back. So what has America done for decades prior to Donald Trump? Only Donald Trump did this last 2 years in his first term. Our past presidents would release those savages. Let me be very clear. They're savages, rapists, murderers, child rapists, everything that you can ever imagine on the spectrum of evil. We then release into America, and then they prey on us because we don't have the ability, the determination, or the strength and courage to tell them, no, 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 you're taken aback. If you're not, then I'm going to put sanctions on you. And while we wait for that, I'm going to put them in Guantanamo Bay. I think it's a brilliant move by Donald Trump. He's playing chess when the rest of us, the rest of the Democrats, are playing checkers.
Absolutely. And I did just see a border report that 92.9%, that is the amount by which border crossings have gone down just since President Trump was inaugurated.
AOC is on line one, it's my understanding, after watching that. All right. Without any further ado, J.J. Carroll, speaker, author of Invaded and upcoming new book, Treason. Sir, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this discussion. We had a very great conversation yesterday prepping for this, and I'm excited to talk to you and your audience about what I believe is the greatest treasonous act against the body of America. And when you begin to understand the numbers, the absolute numbers that they allowed in 4 years, it will shock you.
You know, this is something that when you start peeling the layers back, it just gets worse and worse and more surprising. If you don't mind, I mean, you've been a Border Patrol agent for, you were one for 24 years. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. If you don't mind, walk us through that 2.5 decade experience, if that's okay.
Sure.
With emphasis, of course, as we get closer to the present, how things changed. And just go ahead.
Well, I started my career in 1997 down in Imperial Beach Station, San Diego sector. So if you look at the map of the United States of America and go to the southwesternmost point of America, I worked there in 11 miles to the east. However, I worked the whole, we call it corridors. I worked the whole California corridor and the entire Arizona corridor. The only place I didn't work was Texas. I think this is important for us to talk about too, is because I want your audience to understand that I'm not a disgruntled federal agent. I am not a talking head. I'm not an academic guy. I can talk to you academically about it. I have a master's in this, and I can talk to you about it in academic terms. However, I'm a frontline guy. I worked the border as a frontline agent. I became a supervisor, and then I went into management, and then I went into a senior leadership position. And my last year in the United States Border Patrol was Joe Biden's first year. So I have seen everything that's happened. I believe I'm an expert. I'm not a talking head. I'm not going to tell you about what I think the border is from a 1,000 miles away. I lived it. I can tell you what it looks like, smells like, sounds like, tastes like. I can tell you everything that goes on. And more important than that, I can tell you about policy, the Immigration Nationality Act, the INA. I can tell you how Joe Biden bastardized the whole INA, committed treason against America, and used Secretary Mayorkas, and a naturalized citizen from a communist nation in Cuba, was running our immigration system. Stop, let that sink in for a second. And what I really want to impress upon people is these last 4 years, we never did anything like this in a 100-year history of the United States Border Patrol. For 96 years, we never did anything. Let me just give you a point of context. In my career, directly, indirectly, running the station, being around it, I saw or made arrests directly or indirectly at least 100,000 people. And I know that sounds absurd, but in the world of immigration, it's not absurd. That's how many people were crossing the border. Do you know how many people I released from the border in 24 years, zero. No. Why? Because it's against the law. The INA states that I cannot release an illegal alien into America. Do you know how many people were arrested under Joe Biden for 4 years? 12 million. 95 to 97% of every legal alien arrested under Joe Biden was released into America. So basically all 12 million people they arrested, they released. I'm talking about special interest aliens, which are terrorists. I'm talking PLA soldiers. I'm talking gang members, child molesters. They openly admitted, they being CBP, openly admitted to releasing over 680,000 criminals into America. That's a drop in the bucket, Doug. This, when you begin to understand the numbers, the totality of what has happened, that it's shocking when you realize that my last year, I watched 24 years of, or 23 years at the time, of my complete career just be flushed down the toilet, just gone, evaporated, and then came from the most secure border and the greatest border president in the history of America. Without a doubt, it's indisputable. Then I went to the absolute worst. And this was my testimony when I sat in front of Congress and testified against about child sex trafficking. This was the worst border president in the history of the world, Joe Biden, and it was not bad policy. It was intentional, strategic, and purposeful. Thus, my theory is, and I believe it, and I prove it, like I give a case to a U.S. attorney, that man was a traitor. He committed treason against America. And as we talk today, and we talk about the numbers, we talk about what they've done to America, my question always to people that are interviewing me, and sometimes people push back because they can't digest what I'm saying, and they don't want to think of their president as a traitor. And my question always to them is, every number that I'm going to give you, every data point, every statistic is based on experience. It's based off of knowledge is based off their data on cbp.gov. I don't trust them. I don't believe them, but I'm using their data. You can't dispute it. So it comes down to, you don't like my conclusion. So why don't you tell me what the hell's going on? Why did he allow 30 million people, 30 million in 4 years to come into America? And then there's no answer for it. So if there's no answer, if you can't give an answer, at least listen to somebody that's been there and done it. I did it for 24 years. I took a year off and I researched and wrote a best-selling book on Amazon. I'm publishing my next book. And I did two documentaries in that time. I testified in front of Congress. So maybe you should just listen to me a little bit. Just a little. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like my t-shirt. You don't have to like the cadence of my voice. You don't have to like anything. But you can't dispute or deny what I have learned over my course of my career. You can't deny me that. Amen. So that's where I'm going to come from today. It's just, I don't know any other way to talk either, except very direct, because this is a very powerful subject. It's personal to me. However, I see it as an absolute affront to the sovereignty of America and the destruction of our nation.
When you joined the Border Patrol and you're working back in the 90s, early 2000s, or early 2000s, and you know, post 9/11,
okay,
you were doing a specific job. You were catching and detaining illegals coming across the southern border, all 1,969 miles of it, or whatever it might be, but in your area of control. That's what you were hired to do. That's what you did, right?
Correct.
Okay. When did things begin to change, if at all, that you noticed? Was it under Obama, or was it under specifically under Biden? I mean, or was it under Bush or someone else? You know, change for the worse, I should say.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's ever. Okay. Let's go for this premise. I served under five different presidential administrations, Republican and Democrat. This is a uniparty issue, meaning both parties use immigration to enhance and increase their wealth and their power. They all do. For the first 3 years of any job, especially in law enforcement, your head's on a swivel. You're just trying to figure it out, right? You're trying to, okay, when I get this guy and he's an MS-13 gang member, what's the process of prosecuting him? How do I do this? Where do I go? So you're in this learning stage. About 3 years in, I was able to take a breather and look around, and I was like, dear God, this is a lie. This is a lie. So I would leave my station in Imperial Beach, and we were beginning to shut it down through fencing, technology, manpower. But then I'd go into San Diego where I lived, and illegal aliens were everywhere. And I kept wondering, well, why can't I go down here? It's not like I'm flying to Mars. I'm driving 2 miles into San Diego, and there's 500 of them at Home Depot. Why are we not doing it? Just shut up, JG, and get on the border. So I knew under President Clinton all the way through that this is a lie. Obama, if you want to, George Bush did nothing. When he created Department of Homeland Security, we actually regressed. We regressed on the border. When we went to Obama, I want your audience to understand everything that we lived through those last 4 years was it was the genesis of it was under President Obama. And you go back, people think that Alejandro Mayorkas just fell out of sky. Alejandro Mayorkas is the tip of the spear. Alejandro Mayorkas was the director of USCIS in 2008. That's a massive, important position within the immigration machine. Then by 2010, he became the deputy secretary at DHS. Clinton got pushed out, thank God, Hillary Clinton, and then he came back as the secretary of DHS. And if you go back, Doug, if you go all the way back to 2008 and you begin to go through the litany of sins, prosecutorial discretion, DACA, catch and release, asylum, CBP One app, I can just go on, parole, you go on and on. Do you know there's one common denominator in all that? And the common denominator is Alejandro Mayorkas created every single policy or legal pathway from 2008 to present day. He did it. He did it. So when I said in the very beginning of our discussion that the man that was in charge of securing the sovereignty of the United States of America was a naturalized citizen from a communist nation. I'm big in, I need to connect the dots. Here's my evidence. I'm going to connect it. The picture is the picture. If Alejandro Mayorkas was a devout, we're going to shut this border down, we love America, American sovereignty, that would have no meaning to me, him being from Cuba. But right. When he circumvents and destroys intentionally every immigration policy and law to give us the most secure border in the nation, to create the biggest vulnerability in American sovereignty in the history, then I have to connect the dots back. Then I have to connect the dots that he was on the board of HIAS, which is a massive NGO that traffics people and children, and that he has guided tens of millions of dollars to his old charity, Hebrew Immigrant Assistance, something. I don't remember the whole terminology. It's incestuous. Everything that has happened these last 4 years, and it goes all the way back to 2008, you begin to connect all the dots and you realize, oh, it was under Obama. And then you have Trump. And everyone needs to realize that why this is a uniparty issue. Remember, Trump had the House and the Senate for his first 2 years.
He did, yes.
He did. Yeah. And do you know who denied him all the funding for the fence? The Republicans. The Republicans were the obstructionists, Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. I hate those men. I know I'm not supposed to hate as a Christian. I hate them because I watched agents get their heads caved in, shot at, fought, medically retired, commit suicide because our government let us be just pawns to get killed, murdered, hurt because they wouldn't build a wall. However, those two men would eventually send $8 trillion with a T to the Middle East, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to build walls in the Middle East for different countries, send $200 billion to Ukraine the last 4 years with zero money going to the border wall in America. Think of what I just said there. I'm telling you, over $8 trillion has gone overseas to build walls for different nations' security, and they funded us with nothing. Nothing. So you must understand that our government is the enemy. They are evil. And when we have Donald Trump in there now, do not think that the government is still not your enemy, because it is an administrative state with tens of thousands of people that hate America. Donald Trump said it perfectly in a interview with Sean Hannity. And he said, when I look at the totality of what they did in 4 years on the border, there's only two explanations. The first one is they're just stupid. And he says that's not applicable because they're not stupid. I know who they are. They're not stupid. So that only leaves me with one rational explanation. And that is only somebody that hates America would have done this to her. That's a powerful statement, but it is factually true.
I can't imagine any other reason. Certainly incompetence it does not cover this. I mean, you would have to... incompetence is not part of this. Maybe in a few minor issues, but not the totality of this. Mayorkas, and you, by the way, it's interesting because I made some notes in the book, folks, in Invaded, by my guest. I'm telling you, this is a great book. I made some notes here, and on let me see if I can grab it here. You were speaking about Mayorkas, and, you had mentioned Michael Yon. Now, Michael Yon has been on the show. I've talked to him a number of times. You know, he's been down during Gap, and, what caught my attention when you were talking about Mayorkas, what caught my attention was, you wrote on page 58 here, with everything deteriorating on our border, why would Mayorkas be in the Darien province of Panama? I'll let Michael Yon explain. And he said that I already told, or been told by, Centerfront, which is the equivalent of the, Mexican military, and Border Patrol and the UN and some other people that the United States Mayorkas is coming down to increase the size of the camps, again, referencing Darien Gap and so on. So what Mayorkas does or did, and you go on for a couple of pages here, explaining the damage that he intentionally caused. Was he acting on orders, or was he acting with simply the imprimatur of the leaders, or both?
I think he had marching orders. Obviously, Biden had no cognitive ability. So this is who's doing this, who's running this. Obama is. So this is a continuation of what Obama wanted to do. And this is a great point. I'm glad you brought it up, because when people say, well, JG, that's a very bold thing to say that someone committed treason. What evidence do you have? Thank you for asking. Let me just give you a little tidbit. And this is just a tip of the iceberg. So you're the Secretary of DHS. Your only job is to secure the nation's border and keep us safe. And you end up flying down to the Darien Gap. And Michael Yon, investigative or journalist, is actually there. And he has drone footage of Mayorkas landing in Black Hawks. What was he doing in the Darien Gap? He was creating safe mobility offices. Those are called SMOs. It's Orwellian. They're regional processing centers. So, and don't take Michael Yon with his drone footage for evidence. Don't take me telling you what he's doing. Let's listen to Mayorkas on multiple Sunday shows bragging that, yes, I've been down to Guatemala, Panama, Costa Rica, Honduras, El Salvador, and Mexico, building brick and mortar buildings with your money to make the journey of illegal aliens more efficient and more safe. That's treason. That's treason. I don't care how you're an attorney and you want to try to spin my words. And no, this man admitted to committed treason against America. Why would anyone do that? And I think that's a question that I find, Doug, that people rarely ask me. Why? That crazy three-letter question, why? Well, in all of my time in the Border Patrol, writing the books, doing documentary, doing all my research, I state with complete and absolute certainty that our federal government intentionally and strategically weaponized illegal immigration to fundamentally transform America. And the way that they were going, they made a decision, this is how they're going to do it. This was before Biden came into office, because Biden came in on day one and he signed 94 executive orders. All 94 executive orders were destroying the border, literally tearing down the border wall, removing all policies of people coming in, destroying Remain in Mexico, destroying everything. And then we had a flood of illegal aliens. Now, why would they purposely do this? Because they wanted to demographically change America. And that's the only way you're going to fundamentally transform America. You brought in 30 million people right now. And it's going to be hard for a lot of people to even believe. Right now, there's over 50 million illegal aliens in America.
Man, I'll tell you, I gave that number the other day. Folks in the chat, do you remember that? I said I believe roughly 50 million in this country. I'm not bragging, but, you know, tooting my own horn, but beep, beep. There's the man who would know. Okay.
Well, let me give you in 1 minute, I can explain how I get to that number. And I want your audience to understand that Congress has actually mumbled it as well. And didn't know that they were doing it. Back in 2019, Yale and MIT, who we're not going to say are conservative bastions of thought, right? So MIT and Yale did a study, a demographic study. They pushed all this demographic data into an algorithm, ran the algorithm 1 million times. And outside of that algorithm, they said the high of illegal aliens in 2019 living in America was 29 million. And they settled on the mean, the average of 22 million. And everybody in immigration world, all the media, all the politicians all agreed quickly, 22 million, okay. I remember being in the Border Patrol going, that's a lie. It's 29 to 35 million, because they all immediately said, yeah, 22 million. So let's just go off of that number, 22 million. That was in 2019. We get to 2021. Joe Biden has admitted to releasing 12 million. So now we're at 34 million. They've also openly admitted to losing 3 million. I know that's a lie. We'll get to that in a minute. That's 3 more million. Now we're at 37 million. They have flown in illegally through the CBP One app and on illegal flights into America in the dark of night, have been caught bringing in millions of people. We're at about 38, 39 million. I'm telling you, 80% of the border was completely unmanned for over 4 years. When I talk to my buddies, the people that are inside the business, and we talk about the number of getaways, those are people that cross the border undetected and abscond at 3 million, everyone laughs because everyone in the business knows that number is closer to 15 to 18 million. There we get to the 50 million number. That's not a number I pulled out of my head and said, ah, let me see if this sticks. This is research. This is what I know is the truth. So what does that look like in America? That means between 1 in 6 and 1 in 7 residents in America is an illegal alien. Name me real quick, Doug, any civilization in the history of humanity that has sustained this level of demographic shift and survived. And the answer is none, zero. So why do you think America will be able to sustain it? She can't.
There's no way it can. At that number, I mean, even at the lower number, you're really pushing the envelope. But at 1 in 6, 1 in 7, boy, that's, yeah. So this, to fundamentally transform our nation, and you're also referencing what I would interpret here is replacement theory. That's obviously that's a loaded phrase that everyone on the left is saying, well, that's just a bunch of crap, right? But not really. This is what you're talking about.
No, let's look at the replacement. Why do they attack us when we talk, when we say that word? That's their word. That's their okay. phrase,
all right.
The replacement theory. But let's look at what we're saying. How are they replacing us? Well, you brought in 50 million people that are illegal. The United States of America women are not reproducing at the replacement rate, meaning we're not even replacing our population. However, if you look at the fertility rates of illegal aliens, it's as high as 4 to 5 times native-born Americans. So you're looking at 1-2 generations away for them having dominant power over the United States of America. You throw in the stupidity of birthright citizenship. We can get into that later, and that's a boondoggle. But we're looking at the destruction of America. You have 50 million people, and they reproduce at a 4-to-1 ratio. And we just do – I always tell people – the replacement theory is a bad math problem with negative intangibles, and all the negative intangibles are on our side. Everything negative is happening to America, but illegal aliens are reproducing at a significant rate higher than America. It is a bad math problem. Within 1, 2, 3 generations, it's over. There's no coming back from it. And then to go one step further, so this all kind of comes together, and this has been openly argued in Congress. In 2030, we're going to do the census. They flooded the major metropolitan cities across America with illegal aliens, like bombarded them. When they do the census and the Democrats have challenges all the way to the Supreme Court that illegal aliens need to be counted in the census. Do you know how ridiculous that is on the face of it? But why would the Democrats want illegal aliens counted in our census? Well, because it flips the House a difference of 60 to 62 seats. They're going to redistrict it and give New York more seats, California, Illinois, because they have the mass influx of illegal aliens. So therefore, we're looking at what in the House for the House right now, what is it, 5, I think? The majority has 5. What if I told you in 5 years, the Democrats are going to have a 60-man majority in the House? How do you overcome that? And the answer is you do not. So that's the left has sold America out. They are traitors, and we must talk in these terms and not be afraid to point and say, you're a traitor. You disgust me. And then have the courage with Donald Trump and his new administration to go find those traitors and arrest them.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Folks, we are so blessed today to have J.J. Carroll. He's the author of Invaded. His website, folks, you can, by the way, do it tonight. You will not be sorry, okay? In fact, if you don't like this book, I will give you your money back. I'll buy it from you, okay? Really, everyone talking about illegal invasion, talking about the border, they should be right now. They should have a copy of this book and really understand the severity of the problem, which brings me to this. I can't wait to his next book, which is coming out on February 18th, titled Treason. Folks, again, Mr. Carroll's a gifted writer. He's been where few have. And there's the book, or there's the cover of the new book. I really can't wait to get my hands on that. That's going to be a tremendous read, from what I know about it now. And make sure all the links will be in the program description box for his website, his social media and such. So make sure you follow my guest on social media. And again, I'm so proud to be able to have him on tonight. I'm so proud that he agreed to come on. I think the world of him and his, what he's done to protect our country, putting his own life on the line to keep you and I safe, and then now coming forth and talking about the problems and even the solutions. It's just fantastic to have him. So I don't want to take any more of his time with respect to singing his praises. Okay, we have basically a treason problem, again, title of your next book, that we witnessed over the last 4 years, actually the last 4+ years, when you go back to 08, as you stated, with Mayorkas in the mix, USCIS back in 08, Deputy DHS and so forth. And so how does that even happen? I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, and by the way, where is Mayorkas now? He's gone, isn't he? I mean, where is he?
Disappeared, right? It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
They just all the people that committed treason. Where, have you seen Obama?
Just on top of Jennifer. I mean, no, I'm kidding. No. I mean, he's been very quiet lately too. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all disappeared, and they're because I think they just want it all to go away. Meaning, I don't want anybody to see what I did. Now, can we just move on? And no, I can't move on. And I implore Donald Trump. I'm a big MAGA. What he's done has been Herculean, man. What he has done has just been amazing. But I am imploring him, sir, you have got to go and arrest these people. I'm not talking about, hey, you're going to go arrest your political people that disagree with you. No. And I use this comparison. So President Carter just passed away.
Yep.
He was easily one of the worst presidents in modern history. Easily. And you could say, well, he made some really bad decisions, and maybe some of them were very questionable or whatever. But I don't think Americans ever questioned his patriotism. Like, no one said, hey, Carter's doing this because he wants to hurt America. No, everyone just said Carter's doing this because the Democrats and Carter are incompetent. They don't know how to run a nation. Now you take that, and now you compare it to Biden, who I know committed treason. This, as you said, was this incompetence? No, because I can show you intentionality.
purposeful decisions saying, I'm going to change this policy. I'm going to change this. I'm going to let these people go against the law, even though I know it. I'm going to traffic 550,000 unaccompanied alien children, and they're going to get into sex abuse and labor trafficking and organ harvesting, and it's going to be a debacle, but I don't care. We're going to keep doing it. I'm going to create chaos and crime that we can never see, we've never seen before in our big cities and small towns, but I'm going to do it on purpose. So when I compare and contrast those two administrations, one's just incompetence, one is criminal activity. And if Donald Trump does not go after those people, that is obvious. So Donald, so if I'm interviewing Donald Trump and I'm Sean Hannity, and I hear Donald Trump say that those people made those decisions because they hate America, my next question to Donald Trump is, sir, then if they hate America, then you have to make that next step forward that they did it on purpose. Yes, they did. Then that is treason, correct? Yes, it is. Then what's the next step? You have no, there is no other step except I have to go and arrest people. Because here's the thing, America, if you don't go and arrest people that committed treason, why would they not regroup and do it again? Well, of course they're going to do it again. Of course they are. Why do you think crime rose under 4 years? Because there was no police officers. We weren't doing our job. So it just got worse and worse and worse. So if you think that Mayorkas is going to right now disappear, yeah, like he did the last time Trump, and then he rose like a phoenix, and then he destroyed, I lived it. Within 6 months, the whole border was destroyed. Destroyed.
How did I got to ask you, and my apologies for if we go off on trails here, but how did you handle that? You, that had to be one of the worst times for you after 4 years of President Trump, despite all of his problems, you know, getting whacked every, you know, it was like whack-a-mole with President Trump back in his first term. But when you turn that corner with Joe Biden, tell us about that. What was that like? Was there like an order all of a sudden? Hey, stand down, let these people go. You know, help with the paperwork, change diapers, whatever. I mean, what was that like?
Let's go all the way back to like my 19th year. We were losing all the time, not because we had bad players. We had top of line players on our team, and I used to create task forces. So I created a very large 60-man task force that just dealt with human and narcotic smuggling on the Pacific coast. And I did that for about 5 years. And then I ran an ATV unit a couple of years, and that gave me a very narrow focused mission. So I would block out all the noise, Obama, Bush, all of them. But I always knew I was on a losing team, always, because we were always losing. Then Donald Trump comes. And then after he gets rid of gets rid of McConnell and Ryan and takes control of the Republican Party, I went from the worst NFL team in the league to the Patriots during their prime. And we were winning. Not just where we were winning, we were just dominating. Let me give you a number. Just let me give you a contextual on the number. So you have a southern border, 2,000 miles roughly, northern border, over 5,500 miles. Then you have the east-west coastline. At the end of Donald Trump's term, we were averaging about 500 arrests a day. That's nothing, guys. That's like a drip in your faucet. Prior to Donald Trump leaving office, because Joe Biden began to use the verbiage of you're welcome to come to America, everyone will be accommodated, we saw the number go from 500 to 5,000 instantly. And I want to make this point before I tell you what it was like on the first day. From the very first day Joe Biden took office until the very last day he left, between 5,000 and 20,000 people a day crossed the border, were arrested and released. I'm not even talking about the people that absconded. I'm just talking about what they allowed to come in. So what was it like that first day? The first day, I retired as a deputy patrol agent in charge, so I was second in charge of a Border Patrol station in San Diego sector. I was one of 25 of the top 25 agents out of 2,500 in San Diego sector. I sat in my office because I'd come in around 5 in the morning, work out, and before the next shift started at 6, I'd be ready. And I sat down, and I began to see unconstitutional orders start to come down in my email inbox. And they were basically, you're going to step down. You're going to stop enforcing the law. You're going to begin to release everyone into America. It was the saddest day. I watched. We went from 6 months of Donald Trump's second term in office to having the border completely shut down, completely secure, to complete and utter chaos. I lasted about 7 or 8 months, and then I knew I can't do this. And I left. And I'm very angry on a personal level. I'm angry for many reasons, for countrywide of being a patriot. But personally, when I joined the Border Patrol, I was ambitious like my father. My father was a Secret Service agent and did 7 presidential administrations. Incredible, giant of a man and as a person. And I wanted to be a patrol agent in charge over a major station in San Diego sector or Texas. And if Donald Trump would have not had the election stolen, I would have attained my goal that I've always wanted to be. And I could have gone higher than that, but that's what I wanted. And that was stripped of me because I knew what I was witnessing, treason. And I knew that I could never continue to follow unconstitutional orders. And then I knew that I would eventually be fired because I would never, ever go along with it. And I would have to leave under bad terms. So I just said, I'm leaving. I did 24 years. I banged my head 22 of those years. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm out. And I'm angry about that because we were Super Bowl champs for 2 years. And then the new owner came in, sold the stadium, traded away all our best players, didn't even replace the players, and we still had to go out and play a game. And we lost every game. Humiliated. They humiliated us. And then illegal aliens that used to run and hide from us and fight for us to get their freedom would now come over with their Louis Vuitton luggage and demand that we move them faster so they get processed faster. It was horrible. It was demoralizing. And that's when I speak at Joe Biden and Mayorkas and Harris and that cabal, I have a complete hatred in my heart. I hate those people. Just as the people in the Founding Fathers would hate Benedict Arnold, would hate traitors. They despised them. They would hang them. And when I say treason, Doug, I'm not saying that flippantly. I may not be the smartest guy in the room, but I'm not an idiot. I feel like I'm very well educated and knowledgeable. I understand what the punishment of treason is, and it is death. And those men and those women that committed treason, I want them afforded the constitutional protections, and I want them to go in front of a jury of their peers. And when and if they are convicted of treason, I want them hung because they tried to destroy the United States of America. And if you can't see that, if you can't make a connection to what they did these last 4 years when they stole the election, and everyone knows it, no one can argue it anymore. And if you are so intellectually small that you are afraid and you don't have the courage to look at what's happened to your country, your silence is now making you guilty and complicit in this treason. There is no more, I'm going to ride it out. You need to pick a side. You pick a side that hates America. You pick the side that wants to mutilate children, kill babies in the womb. You want to do all that transgender surgery and all that. That's that side. Our side over here believes in God, freedom, and the American way. There is a battle for the soul of America right now, and it is good versus evil.
Amen to that, folks. We've been saying this. You know this. The listeners and viewers know this. This is a bigger war that we're fighting. This is indeed good versus evil. This is a spiritual war. And there are bad people out there, bad people in governments past and even some present. But we have to fight against this. Again, my guest is J.J. Carroll. Folks, make sure you visit his website. Make sure you get his book, Invaded. And also watch for, on the 18th of February, his new book, Treason, will be out. Follow him on social media. He knows that of what he speaks. And he's, I mean, he's experienced much in 24 years as a Border Patrol agent, including two of a very treasonous regime. And those are my words. And I think they're consistent with his experience, observations, and feelings. So, folks, again, get your hands on Invaded and make sure you write yourself a note, because on February 18th, and I'll be talking about this as well, you've got to grab his book and follow Mr. Carroll on all of the social media platforms in which he has. Since you brought this up, kind of out of order here, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you believe the American, two-part questions. Do you believe the American people understand the treason that happened in those 4 years? That's number one. And number two, do you believe that there will be any perp walks of the people like Mayorkas, for example, and others, to answer the charges of treason? Do you think they'll be brought forward? Go ahead.
I go back and forth on this quite a bit, and I have people, friends that are very smart, and we have these kind of hard discussions about America. I tend to think that America is not awoke. They're not awakened just yet completely. Do I believe that this is a new age of being awake and seeing things more clearly? Yes. Do I think America is ready? I don't know. I really don't know. Do I think that they will be perp walked? That's also, I don't know. I look at what Donald Trump is doing now, and he's doing things that I couldn't even imagine, like Guantanamo Bay, opening that. That's strategic. That's something I didn't even think about. So I don't know if he's waiting to go arrest them. And my only point to Donald Trump is this. Sir, you made an extremely tactical error in 2016. When you did not arrest Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And I understand why. I can understand why you didn't. But Mr. President, when you did that and you thought you were going to create unity, they looked at that as weakness and they attacked you. They tried to put you in jail. They tried to put your children in jail. Then they tried to kill you. They tried to take all your money. They tried to everything they did to you. So why would you now want to be the peacekeeper? It's not political disagreements. This is treason against America. And in my book, Treason, I have a whole chapter to my political hero. It's not even a political hero. To my American hero, who I look up to the most in terms of the leaders of America, is George Washington. And I use George Washington as a comparison to Donald Trump. And people at first will go, that's crazy comparison. Well, you take away all the money, you take away the clothes and modern versus past, and you bring them and strip them basically naked of all their stuff and just say, look at these two men, their characteristics, their belief in God, all this stuff. They're very comparable. They're very determined. Would they be friends? I doubt it. But they're patriots. And I implore Donald Trump to look at what Washington had to do. Washington would take people that were traitors in the army, find them, try them, and hang them that same day, because something had to be shown to the rest of the country. You are either all in with us or if you turn your back on us, you become the enemy, and we cannot tolerate that. You are having the same thing done today that has been done for decades now, but it was accelerated under Biden. You had people that enriched themselves by the tunes of tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars through NGOs. NGOs received billions of dollars in 4 years under Joe Biden. Joe Biden admitted that the bottom baseline cost for illegal aliens in America in 4 years was $700 billion. And they came out and said, well, actually, that number has surpassed $1 trillion for illegal aliens. Let me repeat that. $1 trillion. You had Mayorkas that openly admitted what he was doing to bring in people illegally into the country at the tune of 30 million. And Donald Trump comes out and he states the only reason they did that is because, quote, they hate America. You just admitted to me, President Trump, that you know what they did to America was intentional. That is the premise and what needs to have evidence to convict treason. It's not bad policy. It's not that I believe X, Y, and Z. No, I wanted to change America and I wanted to hurt her. So I did this thing and that was open the border. That is treason. I don't think it's hard. I don't think I'm making a stretch at all, Doug. I think it's a very, here's A connected to B. That's it. Yeah. There is no other. I need to go five different ways to get to B. It's a straight line from A to B. That's it. And we have got to talk in these terms because if we don't, we're going to have it happen again. And I have a young son. He's 13. I don't want the next president to be some jackass from the Democrat Party that hates America and drafts my son and to go to fight some crazy war in some God knows country I can't find on the map. And I lose my son.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to be silent. And that's why I write books. That's why I come on podcasts, because we have to talk about this, Doug, in the most pragmatic and the most direct and bold way possible without fear or apology.
Amen to that. I look at my grandchildren, you know, and I think, what are they going to grow up? What kind of nation are we going to have? And I thank God President Trump has done what he's done in the 9 days that he's been in office, 8.5 days. He's done so much, but more needs to be done. And I agree with you on this. I think heads need to roll, after, of course, proper litigation. Is there anything the American people can do to push this? Because, man, I don't see a lot of political will. You know, I'm not talking about President Trump, but just, you know, in Congress, when I watch the hearings, it's all fully partisan, whether it's Kennedy, you know, RFK or whoever the nominee might be. But there's so much. There's so much divisiveness, but I don't see a lot of political will. What can we do? Again, aside from becoming more knowledgeable through your books and through your information, is there anything can we push on certain buttons to get this rolling and have President Trump look at this as an act of war by people, by enemies within? I mean, that's what this is.
Yeah, I think the best way, I think there's two ways, and I don't know if the first one will have any bearing, but you have to put pressure on your congressmen and senators to pressure Trump or go try to find him directly, meaning it's social media. What if a million people just banged away at this every single day on X, every single day on True Social? Do I think that it will happen? I'm a realist more than I always was an optimist like my father. And then I became a stone cold realist after 24 years. I just see things very black and white and I don't have a lot of faith, to be honest with you, in people, because I've seen too much of the evil. And I believe that evil roams the earth and people can't even see it. But I do know something has to be done for the future. And What I believe that is what our founding fathers told us to do, and that is having control over the lowest level, lowest form of government, your city council, your school board, your mayor, your sheriff. And before you poo-poo that idea and say, well, that's not going to help. Really? How do you think the left took over America?
Oh, that's right.
They used the blueprint of our founding fathers against America, and they took over. How do you have transgender ideology in Alabama, in Mississippi, in Utah? Well, because the lunatic left weaseled their way in,
yep,
and they won, and they took power. Why can't we take over our whole nation again like this? Because the bigger story here, I really believe, as I've gotten more researched and just seen more things, I absolutely believe that this is a God versus Satan war that's happening in America. Absolute war for the soul of America. And I can show you that. I did a documentary called What is Treason Trafficked, all about the child sex trafficking that's going on in America. It won a director's award at a film festival in September. And I proved with my business partner, Ryan Matta, we proved that the United States federal government was the world's largest child sex trafficking organization in modern history. They brought over 550,000 unaccompanied alien children, called UACs, into America and had them trafficked. They admitted that they lost over 320,000 of them. Where did the children go? Well, we know where they all went. But that is... America is.
Where did they go? For the people, for new listeners, folks, we've talked about this, but let's hear it from a man who's been on the ground, who has worked this problem, who knows, again, who knows what's going on, what had gone on, and who's behind it. Where are the kids? What happened to them? And who in the hell is, and I mean that in a literal sense, in the hell is responsible for all of this? You've got Mayorkas, but you also have to have some people working the ground level logistics. I guess that would be the NGOs, right?
Yes.
All right. So are the children in slave labor camps? Are they in sexual? Where are they?
Well, I did almost 4 months of filming, and I went to film a documentary called What is Treason Invaded? And about halfway through the filming, my business partner and I looked at each other. And we knew we were going to have to talk about child sex trafficking, human trafficking. All that's part of it. But we were shocked when we realized everyone we talked to, everything keeps going back to pedophilia and child sex trafficking. All of it. I interviewed former CIA guys, Alphabet Agency guys, guys in Intel, military intelligence. I spoke to the escorts that trafficked the children in the NGOs. I talked to people that worked inside the child detention facilities, whistleblowers. I talked to people that were, I called them the hunters of the children, go find them. I talked to people that were the groups that went and located the child sex trafficking organizations and helped law enforcement track them down. And they all admitted to me that our government is trafficking children. Every one of them, independent of each other, knowing that I never told them who I interviewed. Every single one of them. And let me go to straight evidence for your audience to have an understanding. Under President Trump, all this unaccompanied alien children called UACs are babies, literal babies, come out of the womb to 17 years old. The Border Patrol cannot hold them because of Obama-era policies called the Flores Settlement Agreement. So the Border Patrol would arrest a five-year-old Guatemalan boy under Donald Trump's time. We would thoroughly process that child, turn him over to his sponsor. That sponsor would have been thoroughly vetted, like through a CPS type of home visit, looked at the background, did a DNA test. Everything was very, very regimented. Under President Biden, DNA testing was no longer. there were no background checks.
Yeah, that blew my mind. Yeah.
So they just handed children over to cartels. Now, let me explain to your audience understands. When you watch my documentary, it lays it all out from point A to point B, and it's indisputable. The cartels, international cartels that have no connection to each other, say Romania, Russia, Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, whatever, they all independently found loopholes in the sponsorship program under USCIS and the Health and Human Services, and then the Office of Refugee Resettlement called ORR. They're responsible for placing the children. So the cartels, I want you to let's go and let me tell you how this works from a Guatemalan boy that's 5 years old. He will be kidnapped in Guatemala, or his parents will sell little Juan at 5 years old and give him to the cartels. The cartels will sexually rape the child and sell him until they get up to the border in America. Then I will either staple a note card to his shirt, or I'll put a lanyard around his neck, and I'll push little Juan, who has been anally raped. I'll push him across the border. Border Patrol agent will pick him up. I will look at his name tag. I will turn them over either directly to ORR, or I'll hand them directly to Catholic Charities or Jewish Family Services, etc. And then ORR will make a simple phone call to the person that the cartels told the NGO and ORR to call. And then they will coordinate taking the child from the border, flying the child to like Oregon, New York, Indiana, and turning that child over to a sponsor who is in effect a cartel member. And then they will go on and they will rape little Juan up to 20 times a day, because I need your audience to understand, never in the history of cartels have the narco smugglers ever got involved in human smuggling, because human smuggling is dirty. It's time consuming. You have a lot of spoilage, because I want your audience to look at the cartels as like Amazon. But because Joe Biden removed all the law enforcement barriers on the border, and then we removed the cost of transporting the children and the women into America, that the cartels, now the narco cartels, came down and took over the human smuggling cartels, because they were now able to make a business decision that trafficking children was a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar a month business. Because if I transport cocaine and heroin and I sell it and I ingest it through my arms, snort it, whatever I do, it's gone. I can't sell that cocaine again. However, I can take a little 5-year-old boy or 3-year-old girl or a 13-year-old teenager, and I can sell them up to 20 times a day for the same cost as that cocaine once. But I make my profit 20 times in one day. And then I'll just rape these children to death. And then I'll organ harvest them. And if they're very, very, very fortunate, they'll just be working in a meatpacking plant at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's what's happened. Donald Trump has said this multiple times. And it's been quoted as saying, where are the children? And he is quoted saying, a lot of them are already dead. And he is correct.
Yes.
And this brings to a bigger point and a bigger question or a bigger statement. America is the problem. You may hate the cartels as much as I do, and they're demons and they're vicious. They're animals. However, they are providing a product to America that demands it. The number one consumer of child pornography in the world is the United States of America. The number one consumer of hard narcotics in the world is the United States of America. One of the top nations on planet Earth that pays money to rape children is the United States of America. The nation that produces the most pornography in the world and is the leading exporter of pornography is the United States of America. So if we are going to be intellectually honest, we have got to put a gigantic mirror in front of the body of America and say, look at yourself, America. You are evil. Look at yourself, America. You are no longer the shiny city on the hill. You have become a disgrace. Why does the rest of the world hate America? Besides the fact that we bomb everyone to death and destroy everyone's nations. Well, they don't want our pedophilia. They don't want our disgusting food. They don't want our social norms in their communities. And you know what? They're absolutely right. And when I went done filming these documentaries and I'm looking at my 24 years career of the people that I arrested, the treason that I was surrounded by, the mismanagement, the criminal neglect, and then you begin to piece everything together, sir, it is very obvious that the problem in the world is America. It is America. I know it's hard to hear that.
No,
it is factually true.
Yeah. This is much more than treasonous. This is, as you said, satanic. And, you know, we work with several rescue organizations, including Save Them, which is an international organization, Shatter Ops, which is a domestic organization, and what they see on a daily basis, and Vets for Child Rescue, Craig Sawyer, and, yes, and others, you know. So what they see on a daily basis, they see the tragedy, and then of course they work to assist the victims in the healing process. But what they've seen and what they've described to me, and working with them to the extent I have, is just, I mean, it's indescribable. And the evil behind this, it hurts my, not just my head, but my heart. It's the biggest consumer. Now, we're not just like a bus stop for these children. We are consuming the children. When I say we, I'm talking about the people in the U.S. But I do suspect, this is a question for you, is the U.S. kind of like a way station or a stopping point, and then they're shipped out to different other countries, or
no? We're the consumer.
That's okay.
So, but this, when I'm talking to these are high level guys, right? These are guys that have all the alphabet agencies behind them. These are not guys that are making stuff up. I'm talking about undercover guys that are going, and gals and women that are going and rescuing these children and finding these atrocities. And I asked them, "Well, is this America?" "Yes, JJ." They're organ harvesting these children. And then they tell me, "Well, JJ, you're so focused on the north, the south, the north. It's a two-way street, JJ. They're taking our children. And they're trafficking our children for their organs. Because there's a belief in the communities that the American Western children's, their organs are not parasitic compared to the Latin American African children. So there's a higher price for our children." Now, before you begin to say, as a congressman said to me and mocked me in my testimony, like, "That's not happening." Okay. You're a moron. 400,000 to 800,000 kids go missing every single year in America. That's a broad number. And the reason why it's broad, because they don't want anybody to know the real number. But let's just play the game that it's 500,000. Okay? What if I told you that child welfare and all of them and all the numbers they gave us is a lie? They're wrong and I'm wrong. It's 99% wrong. You're okay with 1% of 500,000 kids disappeared, like got pulled up in a spaceship and disappeared? That's 5,000 children. Right? Am I math right?
Yeah.
5,000 children went missing last year in a spaceship, disappeared. They don't know where they are. Where's the Amber Alerts? Where are the children? And I asked this question. It's in my documentary, and one of the gentlemen asked the question, JJ, 550,000 children gone missing. There would be roaming groups of children roaming the countryside. There would be 15,000 kids in Atlanta. You'd be able to see them, like physically see groups of 50, 100 kids rummaging through trash. And the question asked is, you don't see that. So where the hell are the children? Do you think that? You think it's easy to misplace 550,000 anything, more or less children? They don't know where they are. And let me make sure that I want to use this data point so you understand when I say that this is intentional, this is strategic, and they've done nothing to stop it. I'm going to give you two examples. Okay. Under President Trump, in his last year, it was between 15 and 30,000. I know it's a wide-ranging gap, but the numbers are never clear on purpose in DHS. Let's say 20,000 just for a round number. That's how many children came in under President Trump's last year. Under Joe Biden's first year, it jumped to 120,000. 120,000. I spoke to an escort that traveled, took these kids across the country. College, high school dropout, GED. Everyone was, no one was credentialed. Everyone was day laborers. We're flying children all over America. Do you know how much money one escort made? A high school dropout GED in 1 year made $350,000.
Wow.
And yeah, Joe Biden knew that there was 120,000 children came in and they did nothing to stem it. In fact, they accelerated. The next year was 130. The next year was 140. And then the last year was close to 150,000. And then HHS, who is run by Javier Becerra and Ms. Marcos from ORR, were in front of Congress in 2023, and they had to openly admit they lost 85,000 children, and they did nothing. And then a year later, Inspector General of DHS said, no, that number of 85,000 is a lie. It's over 320,000 children have been lost. I know the number to be a complete 100% of the children have been lost. And it is done on purpose. If I asked you, sir, I put you in charge of whatever organization, and you found out that 120,000 children came into America and then were lost, do you think that you would continue to do the same damn thing, or do you think you would halt everything and figure out how do we stop this? But this was collateral damage, because if you listen to the left, the ends justify the means. If we have to sacrifice 500,000 children to the gods of pedophilia in order to fundamentally transform America for the better good, then that's what we're going to do. And that is your federal government, America. Your government did this. All of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know this is hard to hear. I know this is really, it's difficult, but we need to have an adult conversation about this, which we are. I ask that you do me a favor. I ask that you give the link to this, or copy this episode, give the link up to this episode. Make sure you give the name of JJ Carroll to everyone you know. Tell them to watch this episode. Tell them to understand what's really has been taking place. And if you're reluctant to do that, then look at your grandchildren or your children and consider the stakes that we're talking about here. Consider what's at stake. Please do this. Please get the word out. I'm going to say that this is perhaps one of the most important shows I've ever done. And JJ Carroll, again, is a man who has been there. He's worked these cases. He understands this. But I ask of you, make sure this show gets out. And make sure the people, in charge know about this, the sheriffs, if you're a friend with a sheriff, direct them to this episode. Give them the copy it. Get just whatever you got to do. Get the information out there. But make sure they know the name J.J. Carroll and follow him on social media. Again, I cannot stress how important this is. It hurts. Again, it hurts my heart. Let me ask you this. When we see, and I often play clips of Ben Berquam and, mm-hmm. and numerous other people at the border, Michael Yon and such, and you see the drivers of the buses, you see the guides, the escorts, you see the buildings with the people working there and the security and all of this. Do yes. they know? I mean, are they, they've got to know, right? That what they're doing is pure evil. I mean, they don't think they're there for some philanthropic mean or purpose, right? These people know.
They know it's all about money. So let me try to put into context the money we're talking about. So Speaker Johnson, Republican, comes in, first gets hired. He goes into a CR. And what does he do on the first CR? He fully funds the NGOs by the tune of $7.9 billion. For about 6 to 8 weeks. That is how much money we're talking about. When you look at, I just saw a white paper come out on Catholic Charities. I'm Catholic, so it really infuriates me with the Pope and Catholic Charities is tied to the Catholic Church. Do you know, from 2009 to the end of Joe Biden's term in office, Catholic Charities has received over $5.2 billion? They received $2.9 billion in the 4 years. And I'm telling you, I think that number is inaccurate. I think it is grossly conservative. Let me give you an example. In my documentary, I interview a gentleman that works for DHS, and he actually would hit the electronic fund transfer to Jewish Family Services. And I said to him, what is the largest check that you sent? He said, well, that was $600 million. I said, for like 2 years? And he laughed at me. He says, try about 3 months, and it's renewable. And I said, okay, hold on. Jewish Family Services is not even close to the size of Catholic Charities, et cetera, et cetera. He goes, yes, they're all getting $600, $700, $800 million contracts every couple months. And our federal government, and what you need to understand, or I want your audience to understand, when the federal government decided to intentionally use illegal immigration to fundamentally transform America, if you go back to like 2022, going into 2023, what was the big problem? The big problem was tens of thousands of illegal aliens living under bridges in inhumane areas, and it became a very big PR nightmare. So it wasn't until about the end of 2023 when the federal government had the NGOs fully funded, because without the NGOs, we cannot move 10,000, 20,000 people a day off the border. But when you have NGOs, then you are able to move all those. So the NGOs know this completely. They know exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it and why they're doing it. They're all making billions of dollars. There's no oversight. I asked the gentleman that paid Jewish Family Services, I said, so you would track that money to make sure that it went the right place? And he said, are you out of your mind? He says, when I sent that, I was on to my next emergency. The rule was in the federal government, whatever the NGO asked for or demanded, you gave them. And as my source said in the DHS, and again, this is not a third party. I saw an email. I'm talking the guy that did it. And he's telling me, you must understand, JJ, the NGOs run the federal government. The federal government does not run the NGOs, because the government needs the NGOs to run their treasonous plan. The NGOs, if you're looking at a car, the NGOs are the engine. The government's just a frame. The thing that drives it are the NGOs. That's why you're seeing Trump stop all the money to all government programs, in effect, shutting down the NGOs. That's why you have seen the mass migration come to a complete halt, because there's no money now to transfer them. And that's to the NGOs.
Which explains why Michael Yon, for example, especially him, he's been just yelling about the NGOs, about the UN funded operations, OIM, IOM, whatever.
Yep.
Okay. I'm getting this, and folks, I'm sure you folks are a lot more intelligent than I am, so you're getting this. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, the seriousness of this, and we need this to stop immediately. Will this funding moratorium, obviously, there's a court case against one of the measures that I know of. Is this gonna fly? The amounts of money we're talking here is just incredible. I mean, I wrote the numbers down, and I'm not even sure I believe my own eyes. But I mean, this is a lot of money. So, we have to make sure this works, I guess. I'm at a loss when I'm looking at these numbers.
Yeah, I think there were years where I went through this mental gymnastics in my mind about how is America going to come out of this, or even back on Obama when I was going through those dark days of Obama on the border. How is one man good enough to help America? Is it going to be a... And I kept coming back to, no, it's got to be a group of people. And man, was I wrong. It's one man. One man changed the face of America. He did.
Yeah.
And people say, well, JJ, I don't know. Then I say, okay, stop for a second. Tell me anyone in America could do what Donald Trump has done. Tell me one politician. Tell me one businessman. Elon Musk can't do it. I think Elon Musk is an incredible genius of a man, but he's strange. He's weird. He's not going to coalesce groups of people. Donald Trump. The only reason that America is the way it is Donald Trump. And I'll go one step further. If Donald Trump was not in the political realm, we would already be going to a third party, because people like me would never vote for that Republican Party. No way. No. Lindsey Graham, all those guys, no. It's going to be Trump. So will he do it? I think he will do it just out of sure will. But the NGOs have to be defunded. This whole – and what needs to happen immediately is everything Donald Trump is doing executive order-wise needs to be immediately legislated into law.
Agreed.
That's how you change. That's how you make fundamental change. And I don't even think this is going out on a limb. I think by next tax season, 2026, the income tax is gone. I think it's gone.
You know, you're the second person today that said that. And if you don't mind, explain your statement, because again, I know what the first gentleman today, how he explained it to me, but why do you think that and how?
Because Donald Trump's a businessman. And he looks back into history in 1870 to 1913. We were the wealthiest nation on planet Earth. We actually had to have a commission to come together and determine how we were going to spend the excess billions of dollars we had. And how did we get that? We got that from tariffs. And we need to think of ourselves. We're America. We're like the biggest Costco in the world. We are the consumers. The world does not consume the way we do. So in order to come into our Costco, you're going to pay a membership fee. And the membership fee is in the form of tariff. Now, imagine if we went back to the 1870s and we actually tariff nations. They paid for the complete building, restoration and maintenance of America, and then that $10,000-$15,000 a year you pay in tax to federal income tax, that is actually in your pocket.
Yeah.
Who would vote against that? And this is why I know he's going to do this. He's going to do it because it's going to be able to show America who loves America and Americans and who are on the take, meaning only someone on the take would say, this is not a good thing. Well, how is that not a good thing? I'm making China and the other 195 nations pay for us. I'm enriching us. Why would I make you pay $10,000, $15,000, in federal income tax when I could put that in your pocket? You want to talk about an economic boom in America? And that's why Donald Trump, and I'll tell you another reason why Donald Trump's going to do it, and it's about narcissism, and I don't care, because every great man that's a leader has an ego, and if he didn't have an ego, he would not be a leader of the free world. He is going to do this because that is going to set him up there on Mount Rushmore with the giants, and he knows it.
Amen.
That's why he's going to do it.
And I believe that, and you're exactly right about the tariffs. And folks, if you don't have I'll just say this. You can read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, J. R. Griffin. Go back. That book touches on that a little bit. Of course, the creation of the Fed, but understand how the country operated from the middle of the 19th century to the early 20th century. Economically, and you'll find a lot of information that'll just knock your socks off. But this is an incredible conversation. Folks, let me remind you again, J.J. Carroll, the author of Invaded. I've got the book right here. It's a tremendous book. I have to say that I've got a number of books on the invasion, the alien invasion, the border. This is perhaps one of the most concise books well written, and I cannot wait for his next book coming out, titled Treason. That'll be out on February 18th. And don't forget, folks, follow him, follow JJ Carroll. All of the links will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. Two ends on Hagman. Before we go any further, I do want to make sure that people have access to your trailers, your Substack, any place that you want to direct people to. So allow me, if you don't mind, to ask you, where should people go, whether social media, or where should people go for your work, work?
I'm going to have my I'm totally rebuilding, and I'm very excited about a website that I've created called jjcarroll.com. It's going to house everything, but it's going to be, that will be at the end of February. So if you want to go to my social media, go to jjcarroll14. And then if you want to purchase my books, the best way to go is to Amazon. Just type in my name, it'll pop up. And then I have another website called thisistreason.com. Thisistreason.com. And that has two documentaries, and you get them for $9.99. Two documentaries. And my partner and I made a very strategic decision when we came up and said, we have enough footage to prove our theory that the world's largest child sex trafficking organization in the history of the world is United States of America. And we decided, okay, we don't have the bandwidth to create a new website and all that. We'll just give that documentary away for free when you purchase Invaded. So you get two documentaries for the price of one. And I will tell you this, and I've had this, and I say this with no braggadocious, because my business partner was the editor, filmer, all that. I was just, quote, the talent and the guy that knew how to speak to people and get into certain areas that were forbidden for anyone else outside of law enforcement. And he created, I believe, one of the most powerful documentaries, and people have told me out loud, the most powerful documentary I've ever seen. And I would say about 80 to 90% of everyone that's watched this documentary has watched it twice, which I found fascinating. Why would anyone watch a documentary twice? And it's called What is Treason Trafficked? And what you're going to see about child sex trafficking and who is doing it and how they did it, you are going to be shocked, and you are never going to be able to unsee what you saw. And then you will be left with simply one question. What are you going to do? And I believe completely that in this new day and age, in this age of awakening, when you remain silent, you become complicit in the sin. And I don't believe God is going to allow you to split hairs. I really don't. And I became an expert on this movement of child sex trafficking. I hate it. I hate talking about it. I hate writing about it. I hate doing a movie about it. In fact, I had no idea when me and my partner went out to film our documentary in April of last year to August that I would be talking to people about child sex trafficking. I didn't want to do this. I didn't do this in my job as a board. Sure, I saw children being trafficked. And I saw all that, but nothing on the level of Joe Biden. Nothing on this insane world of pedophilia. And now I find myself thrust into it. So when I tell you that you have an obligation to at least talk about it, I'm not preaching to you. I'm telling you from a man that doesn't want to do it. But I do know this, that when I die and I have the ability to stand in front of God, he's never going to say to me, you are a coward. I gave you all the knowledge. I gave you the footage and you didn't do it because you were afraid to get canceled, ridiculed in Congress, whatever. No, he's going to look at me. He's going to give me a pass for all my sins. He's going to go, at least you had courage to do it. Move along. You're lucky to come in here. Yes, sir. Thank you. But you can't remain silent.
You can't. No. And so for the documentaries, just to be clear, this is treason.com.
Correct.
Okay. Folks, please, again, support J.J. Carroll. We need him in the fight. Do whatever you can to support him. Watch the documentaries. And his book, Invaded, plus the upcoming one, Treason, become part of us. You've got a Substack too, correct?
I do. I write about three times a week on Substack just at jjcarroll@substack.com and just go there. And it's, I just write about these topics. I write about another passion of mine is I'm a father. Yes. And I think fatherhood is, let me go back. I think you could take every ill and sin in American society today and you can tie it back to the lack of the father.
Amen.
All of it. Yes. Why do you think Satan, and I believe the left are Satan, I believe they are evil. Why are they attacking masculinity in men? Like attacking it and destroyed masculinity because it's God's natural order. And when you remove God's natural order, you have chaos. Are you telling me when you look at society today with the transgender, the gender ideology, ripping the genitals off of our children, murdering 60 million babies in the womb since Roe v. Wade, and I can go on and on and on. The reason why this has been allowed to happen is because the men have remained silent. They just have remained silent because they were cowards. And we are now faced with this almost insurmountable change of America. Think about how far our community, our society has come, that the new president of the United States has to make the declaration in his inauguration that there are two genders. Think of that right there. Historians will come back 100 years from now and cite that as the moment of incomplete insanity as proof of how screwed up America was. We are going to be looked upon in history the same way that we look upon the Salem witch trials, as those people were mentally ill. And they're going to look at America and they're going to broad brush us all as absolute morons in society, and we are.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, by the way. Exactly, and yes, when a president has to proclaim, you know, there's two sexes, a male and a female. How far? And folks, even I don't know, 10, 20 years ago, did you ever think that we would be seeing what we're seeing today with the transgender crap that we're seeing? I mean, of course not. How incredibly bad it was. But we told you, too, when Obergefell passed in the Supreme Court, when that horrible decision was made, you knew where this was going. And you could see. So anyway, this is amazing because all of your values, look, you're Everything you've said, I think, has resonated with the audience tonight. And it's just unbelievable. But I'm glad that we are turning things around. By the way, Harris, as Borders are, what the hell was that about? Was that just a dog and pony show? Nothing. Was Harris involved in any of this, or was she just a stump?
She's a stump, and they needed a fall guy, right? So they needed someone to say, okay, we have someone in charge. She's going down to the border. Mayorkas was in charge of the border.
Yeah.
He ran everything. But in the really I want your audience to understand, nothing happens on the border without the cartels dictating it. So for 4 years, the cartels ran our immigration system, meaning they said, what type of illegal alien came? Is it from, are they exotics from the Middle East? Are they from Venezuela? Are they Haitians? Whatever. They're going to cross at this point, at this time, and this is the flow that's going to be, because they know the flow. They don't want to bog down the mass production of it, right? Their products, they're coming through products. So Mayorkas abdicated the entire border situation to the cartels, knowingly did that. I can't impress upon you enough, sir, that the number one person that should be arrested immediately is Alejandro Mayorkas. If I was President Trump, the very first person I would have in handcuffs would be that guy. And I would frog march him, and I would put him into Guantanamo Bay. I would not let him be. He's a traitor. He has proven to be an insurrectionist and a traitor, and he does not get bail. He is a terrorist to the nation, and he goes to Guantanamo, and he sits there, and we have trial there at Guantanamo. And then if he's found guilty, then he is put to death.
Amen to that. And again, folks, J.J. Carroll writes about Mayorkas in his book Invaded, and I'm sure he's going to be have a prominent section in Treason, the upcoming book on February 18th. It just blows my mind to think how we could have, and I have called him a communist cueball Cuban. Mm-hmm. How he got to where he was and continued to operate like this just absolutely is stunning to me. And how he was facilitated by people on the left and the media. I mean, this media is the most uncurious media, legacy media on the planet. And it just blows my mind. We only have about, 15 minutes left. I can't believe how quickly time has gone. And thank you for your gracious gift of time in this long format interview. I know you had a busy day, and I'm sure your days are going to be busy henceforth. But let me ask you, is there anything else that we need to talk about that we haven't really discussed or that you'd like to expound upon? Because, I really, again, I appreciate your time, and I really want to make sure that you've got everything that when you leave tonight, you know, this interview, you say, you know what, I said everything I needed to say, or at least up to this point. So is there anything, you know, what else do we need to really address?
Well, I think we need to talk about is what's happening now. Yeah. What does it look like now that Donald Trump has been 9 days, 8.5 days, not even the ninth day, right?
Right.
And the reason why we need to talk about this is because, yes, one man has changed everything. However, he needs us as much as we need him, meaning you have to become involved, writing letters, calling, watching podcasts, talking to friends. Be involved. Get involved in your city council. We're not going to be a sanctuary city. We're not allowing NGOs into our. We're not. If you're a church, Catholic church, Protestant, Baptist, Jewish, you're not bringing in busloads of illegal aliens. You're not. We're going to shut you down. It's against our city charter. That has to happen, because what Donald Trump has done is he has changed a complete 180. I'm getting calls from Border Patrol agents saying, you do not understand. We are at nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. We have military. Literally, one of my guys said, JJ, 500 Marines landed. They have in Imperial Beach, they have a helicopter landing pad. 500 Marines landed at our station, knocked on our door and said, Donald Trump sent us here. What do you need us to do? I said, is that really how it happened? Yes. That's how weird it was. All of a sudden, all these soldiers showed up. And they're like, what do we do? And we're like, well, let's go. Let's get down to the border. They shut it down. He's taking C-130s and jamming it full. Remember seeing all the Afghans on the C-130? He's jamming them, men, women, and children, and flying them all over the country, all over the world, and dropping them off. Everyone's getting deported. I'm being told they went from 100% or 97% release rate to a 0% rate. Meaning, I said, okay, what does it look like if you want to release someone? He goes, oh, holy cow, nobody can do that. I say, well, what's the process? Well, I have to call up from the station to the sector headquarters, talk to the chief. Then the chief has to call Washington, D.C. He goes, no one's going to call the chief. And the chief sure in the hell is not going to call Washington, D.C. because Donald Trump will fire him immediately. Donald Trump put in people in place. Kristi Noem, this is a check. This is a chess move. He put Tom Homan as border czar. He's a direct line. They doesn't need congressional hearing. He put someone that I know, his name's Rodney Scott, who is the chief of the Border Patrol under Trump and then fired under Biden. He's now commissioner of CBP. You have the best, most aggressive, intelligent, determined, and patriotic men and women in positions of incredible authority and power are now dissecting and ruining everything Biden and Mayorkas built in 4 years, and they're doing it overnight. It is to say it's impressive is an understatement. So when I tell you how bad 4 years have been, these last 8 to 9 days have been just a miracle. But we have got to back these people. So when you see people waving the foreign flags and screaming at least go and see. Be in a parade route where Kristi Noem comes or Tom Homan and shout out, we got your back. We love
Amen
you.
To that.
Thank you. When you see a Border Patrol agent or law enforcement officer that have been demonized, castigated, called racists and Nazis and vile names, it's good to just look at them. You don't have to buy them something. Just as they're passing by, say, sir, officer, thank you. We, the majority, have your back. You don't think that's a big deal, but from a law enforcement officer, for someone to say that to me, that was a big deal. To say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing. Hang in there. Keep fighting. Okay, yes, finally, somebody's got my back. Someone. That's powerful. That's what we have to do because the left is not going to stop. The left was within an inch of a goal line from winning the Super Bowl. Why would they just give the ball and quit? They wouldn't. So they're regrouping right now. And why would Satan, that is so close to destroying humanity, where there's 157 genders, that he's mutilating children's bodies, that are in 10 years from now, you are going to have mass suicides across America when these young children that have been castrated, removed their breast, have been turned into monsters. In 10 years, they're going to begin to kill themselves. Why? Because they're going to be adults and they're going to feel as if their family destroyed them. You can't have sex. You cannot enjoy in the pleasure of intimacy. You can't have children. You've lost your whole future. You are a monster, a physical monster, because the people that you loved and trust were evil. So what we're going to go through in the next generation is going to be transformative, I really believe. So where are we going to be when that transformation comes? Are we going to be quiet like we have been? Or are we going to demand that we go back to that Christian nation founded and based on God and not be so afraid to say his name? His name is Jesus Christ, and God, there is a God, and he loves us. But he is a God that is jealous. He hates to be mocked. And if you think we're not worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, you have a very, very big problem intellectually. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if we were traveling, Sodom and Gomorrah would be about a mile and a half back,
yes.
You know, behind us. It's really ridiculous. I had just gotten an email. Somebody had requested I ask you this, and I forgot to ask you about this. Going back to the topic of the illegal invasion and our response, do you see... Do you see anyone such as a mayor, even a governor or somebody in power, obstructing justice to the extent where they are arrested in any way, shape or form?
Yes, okay. I do see that. I see that coming on the horizon because you have right now, you have Pritzker and Johnson in Illinois and, Chicago mayor. They're openly defying. Pritzker is actually changing the names of the criminals in his detention, changing their names and giving them new driver's license. So when they're released, ICE can't chase them down and find where they're at. That's criminality. And it's only going to take one politician to be handcuffed.
Yeah.
Perp walked. And there is a federal code. It's 8 USC 1324. You cannot aid and abet, further conceal or hide an illegal alien, 8 USC 1324, and you will be charged with that. And the first politician, the first activist, the first whatever that gets hooked up for that, that's going to be chilling to everyone else. So we'll see how much courage they have. But think about this, that you have politicians that are doing everything they can, spending all of their money to protect rapists, pedophiles, drug dealers, murderers, in order for them to stay in their community. How do you even rationally discuss that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I was a mayor like that, Jacob Fryer, whatever his name is, and what was it, Denver or Minneapolis? I'm not sure where, but
yes, Minneapolis.
You know, okay, saying, yeah, you know, we're not going to cooperate. I mean, not cooperating versus something like Pritzker has done and is doing is a little bit different.
But I'm going to push back on that just for a second.
Ahead.
I want you, your audience to understand what it means when they say they're not going to participate, because I live this.
Okay.
So if you have an illegal alien criminal in your state or local prison, all I have to do is go to that prison. You take your handcuffs off him. I put mine on. And then I walk that criminal safely to my car, put him through the process and deport him. If you don't do that and you release him, then I have to go find him. We get in a foot chase. We get in a car chase. People get killed and hurt. We get in a gun battle. Officers get hurt and killed and lose their life savings. All because you would not turn over a murderer or a rapist to me, a law enforcement officer, and you release them into the community.
Yes.
So I find them all grotesque. I blame them. Look, I will tell you this. If you ask me, do you want to get something off? Let me just, if you can give me 1 minute.
Sure.
I want to tell you what's going to happen. And I pray every day that I'm wrong, every day. But I'm looking at this from a statistical math problem. That's it. You're going to have 30 million people self-deport. They're just going to leave. You have millions of terrorists, million plus terrorists. You have millions of gang members. You have hundreds of thousands of PLA soldiers here in our country. We didn't even talk about that. We didn't even talk about the narcotics. You and I have been talking for 2 hours. That's how big the problem is. We haven't talked about terrorism. We haven't talked about PLA soldiers, gang members, violent criminals. That's how big this problem is. This has been an incredible discussion, but that is how big this problem is. My point is, that's going to leave 20 million people. There's going to be 20 million armed encounters to try to find 20 million people and deport them. Statistically, if even 1% of 20 million, 200,000 end in armed encounters, that's a war. How many illegal aliens are going to be killed and hurt? Worse, how many law enforcement officers are going to die in the line of duty or be medically retired because they got their head caved in, paralyzed, broke their arm so much they can't pull their weapon. That's what's going to happen in America. It's a statistical probability. It has nothing to do with what I believe or what I feel. That is the truth, and that's because sanctuary cities will not participate in the removal of violent criminal aliens. That is terrible.
And I'm glad you did push back, set me straight on that. This is horrific, and folks, the gravity of the problem, as laid out by Mr. Carroll. I mean, I'll tell you something. This was enlightening, and folks in the chat, and folks on X and Rumble. I do hope. But let me know. Let us know. Was this not one of the most informative shows that you've been a part of? Was this not one of the most sobering shows? And I think absolutely. But there is hope. And you know, this in the spiritual component of this, we do know how this story ends. We mm-hmm. win in the end, thankfully. Praise God, we win. But it's going to be a bumpy road. And you made some really good points, too, about the things we haven't talked about and the magnitude of this problem. Absolutely. It's wow. I don't know. There's one other thing, too, I wanted to ask you. It's my understanding that President Trump had asked that the daily arrests, deportations, and the other orders reach 1,800 per day or something like that. Maybe I'm mistaken on that. That's achievable, right? That's obtainable. And have you heard that?
I have. I wrote about a Substack article about that today. You're going to see Donald Trump as they get the funding and as they make these. It's like anything else. You're creating a business, right? You're creating these partnerships. And once they get flowing in finance and the machines running, that 1,500, that 1,800 number is going to seem small in a month from now when the number is going to be 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 a day. It's going to grow like that. You're going to see the military take over the border. You're already hearing requests for details from Border Patrol agents to go into the interior and to be used as agents to fly illegal aliens into their home countries. So you're going to see this whole team, if you will, be reorganized. And it's going to become more just like the left. It took them a while to get organized and become a well-oiled machine. Same thing's going to happen with the right and us. But when we get oiled and we're funded, it's over. It's over. We're going to have thousands upon thousands of them flying out of here every single day. And the other ones are going to leave, because here's the ultimate reason why people are going to self-deport. Do you want to be the prey? Do you want to be hunted every single day of your life and looking around the corner and thinking, I just want to go get a pack of cigarettes or a beer. If I go there, dang it, man, someone's going to see me and they're going to hook me up. I'll just sit in my house. And then you get to the point where I'm not living like this. I'm going back. Okay, see you later. Get out. And Tom Homan.
Plus the 20-year moratorium, but go ahead.
I was just about to say that. Thank you. This is a stroke of genius. You need a stick to get them out, but you have to have a carrot as well. And the carrot is, if you don't leave, I will ban you for 20 years. Meaning you have wife, kids here, whatever. You ain't coming back. Your wife and your kids are going to have to go to your third world cesspool and live there. You're never coming back for 20 years. You will die by the time you're able to come back. That was a genius move, something I've been calling for a very long time. Donald Trump, Tom Homan, Kristi Noem, and Rodney Scott, that is an incredible team that he has built around him.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tom Homan is one man that I absolutely have the utmost respect for. And to see him on the streets of Chicago at, what, 3 in the morning on a Sunday late in the evening, that's what it's all about. But folks, we have been blessed to have J.J. Carroll with us. He's the author of Invaded. He's the author of an upcoming book called Treason. Please follow him on social media, on X. All of the links will be at HagmanPI.com. But please do this. Watch the documentaries at thisistreason.com. Make sure you subscribe to a Substack as well. Support this man. Get behind this guy. And I'm going to tell you right now, I do hope that he will come back. Mr. Kerr, you will come back with us and visit with us, hopefully.
Won't of course you? I will. Of course. Okay. It was a very engaging conversation, and I deeply appreciate it, and I appreciate how much width and time you gave me to be able to articulate what I believe. Thank you.
Well, I love the long format and the ability for people to really explain things, and I think that helps the audience to understand the magnitude of this problem especially.